How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and bear witness of God's Word. This will be the authority that we use today. What a beautiful, beautiful sight. You may be seated. Let me start with a question, if I may. How many of you today have faith in Jesus? If you have faith in Jesus, bear witness. Raise your hand if you have faith in Jesus. Amen. How easy was that to answer? Seems like a rhetorical question, right? Do you have faith in Jesus? I want us to be able to see today what the Bible says about having faith and how easy that question is to answer. But do you realize that you could be in a position as someone who believes in God, believes in Jesus, and can clearly say, yes, I have faith, and still not please God? You say, well, that's impossible. Surely you'll please God if you have faith. We'll learn today and we'll be able to examine ourselves. And there's a couple of passages of Scripture that we want to use today. The first one is going to be, I'll tell you, the first place, it's going to be the hardest one to find. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Not many sermons come out of Habakkuk. You say, well, evidently not. I don't even know where it's at in the Bible. It's after the book of Nahum. You say, well, I don't know where that's at. It's on page 1167 in my Bible, if that helps you any at all. It's near the end of the Old Testament. And then we can turn to Galatians chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2. Let's take somebody that we know really well in the Bible as someone who God's hand was on. His name is Paul. Do you know a little bit about Paul? Paul was able to see some miracles in his life, wasn't he? Paul was in prison when God opened the doors. Paul was able to see miraculous things happen throughout his life. The hand of God was on him. There were so many times that Paul should have lost his life, but God just intervened. Paul never went without, even though he was persecuted, he suffered. He was always blessed. He always seemed to have a good attitude. He was always glorifying God. And because of that, so many other people came to God because of Paul's witness. And Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, in chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to what he said. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I want you to say those two words with me, I live. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Now listen, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. By faith in the Son of God. Now understand here, Paul suffered for his faith. Paul didn't just say, I believe in God. He didn't just say, I believe that Jesus died for me. Paul had to actually put it to the test. Paul had to stand when it was unpopular to say. Paul had to be able to say this to people in his friend group, people in his family. Paul's conviction, he had to actually live out. It wasn't a matter of just saying, I believe this and I'm committed to what I believe. Paul actually had to do more than say it. He had to live it. You see, Paul had to continue with what he believed after he actually believed it. You know Paul's story. He got saved. The book of Acts tells us the story of Paul getting saved on the road to Damascus. But after he got saved, Paul had a life of being able to represent God. That's why he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I live, I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He said, basically, I don't live for myself, I live by my faith. I live out my faith. I live by what I believe. Now, I want us to be able to see the day. There's a lot of difference in having faith and living our faith. There's a lot of people that are listening today, either by radio or on the internet. No matter how you're listening today, the people that are here. It is the easiest question in the world for us that are raised believing. And there's been that time that most of you listening today will have said, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And that day, I proclaim my faith in God, my faith in Jesus. And so when I ask you that question, do you have faith in Jesus? It's easy, yes. But the question I want us to settle on today, to answer before we leave, is that different question. It's not how many of us have faith. It's a personal question. I don't even want you to answer this out loud. The question is, am I living my faith? You see, we have a place in our mind that we refuse to open a lot of times, and that little place, well, it feels secure in something that we've got, and so we say we have it. And I'll put it this way. If I had a pocket full of $100 bills, which I don't, okay? But if I had a pocket full of $100 bills, then I would be able to say, I have some money, right? I have some money. It's mine. I possess it. But if I go out of here and decide to have my lunch from what I find in a trash can somewhere because I don't want to spend money, and I decide to pick up a drink can from somebody because I don't want to buy a drink, if I decide to live without using any of that money, then I have money, but I'm not living the way I would live with that money. Does that make sense? And I believe that our faith so many times is treated that way. We have it, but we're not living by it. We're not living with it. We're not living like we have two pockets full of Jesus. But it's quick to say, an easy answer immediately. Yeah, faith, yeah, right here. I have faith. There was a minor prophet in the Old Testament named Habakkuk. We don't call him minor to discredit him. He wasn't any less significant than any of the major prophets. It's just that there was just a certain amount written by him. And Habakkuk was in a unique situation. This Old Testament book of Habakkuk, we see this prophet was crying out to God because of his fear of what was happening to his country, the fear of what was happening to his people. He lived in Judah. And God was responding to Habakkuk with a message that Habakkuk not only needed to hear, it was a message that Habakkuk needed to preach. I began to look at this message in the weeks past when the election was looming. The last year, when I've heard people, their open conversation is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What if this happens, and what if that happens, and I don't know what we're going to do, and we're doomed, and it's terrible, and people were just overwhelmed. There was a sense of fear and a sense of panic. And this is what was happening with Habakkuk. He was that same way. He was a prophet God was going to speak to and speak through. You see, in Habakkuk's day, the place that Habakkuk lived, there was a time when everything was good, and then there was a time when everything was bad. People had turned away from God. They quit worshiping God. They started worshiping idols. The people that were in the leadership, they forsook God. They said, worship any gods you want to. They took what God said was clearly wrong in the Bible, and they said, oh, it's right to do this. Does it sound familiar? And then God had somebody come to power, a little kid named Josiah. And God anointed little Josiah. And Josiah came in, and his dad was wicked. You could go back and read in the book of 2 Kings. You could see how wicked his dad was. And then Josiah came in, and you know what Josiah said? You know what? We need to get back to the temple. The temple's in disrepair. We don't worship God anymore. And he instituted worship. where people came together and praised God and glorified God. And then while they were cleaning up the temple and remodeling it, if you will, they found a book in there. You know what that book was? The book of the law. You say, what's the book of the law? That was their Bible. That's the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. This is what God revealed to Moses. This was what man was supposed to live by. It said what is right. It said what is wrong. It told you that God would provide for you. And the children of Israel, they used this as Moses was being able to document, hey, this is how God will provide for you. Will there be a sea in front of you? Yes, but God will open it. Will you be starving? Yes, God will let stuff fall from the sky. Will you be against your enemies? Yes, but God will deliver 10,000 to 100 people. Amen. What will God do? He wrote all those things. And the thing they were supposed to do was they were supposed to gather their children according to the book of Deuteronomy. And God said, declare this. Gather your children together and declare this to your children. Gather all the country together and read out loud the book of the law. Now, this is back in Moses' time. In Deuteronomy, he declared, hey, as a matter of fact, don't just make it something that you do as a society. Govern your laws by it, but govern your households by it. Put it on your doorposts so when your children walk in, they see what I say. This is what God says. Put it on the frontlets of their eyes. Talk about it when they rise up. Talk about it when they lay down. Make this the conversation in your house. Why? Because the next generation needs to know that I am the one, the only one that's going to give you the direction to go in. And so just Josiah said, bring this book and let's start reading it out loud. And listen, there was revival. But pretty soon, Josiah died. And when Josiah died, other leaders came in. And they didn't believe it. They started printing new coexist stickers to put on their camels, which said you can worship whatever God feels good to you. It said you can start participating in these things. And God said, well, listen, if you would have read this book and listen, you would have known that if you disobey, there's judgment that came. So judgment was going to come on them. Habakkuk was in a weird spot because Habakkuk was, he was almost putting all of his hope that things were going to stay like it is. And listen, Josiah in the Bible was a great, great king. But Josiah was a man. And hope doesn't come to any country from any one man or one company. Hope and peace come to a country through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And it doesn't come from a man. It's a movement that comes from people that stay in the Word of God and stay true to what God said is right and wrong. So if all your hopes, your ups and downs are based on a person, I'm sorry to say, there's going to be a day when you're really, really upset. Because people will let you down. This day came for Habakkuk, and Habakkuk was complaining to God. And we see in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, if you go back and read this, the history of it, he was complaining to God as if to say, God, how could you let this happen? Can you not see that these things are going on? Why didn't you stop this? After all, God, we're a nation that is committed to you. We've swore our allegiance to you. We've claimed that we trust in you. Hello. How could you let this happen? Now these other people are coming in and this different ruler is in place and people are, how could you let this happen, God? Well, we see God answered Habakkuk in that first chapter, verses 5 through 11, telling him, here's your answer. After Habakkuk said, God, are you going to stop this? Why can't you stop it? Why don't you stop it? He didn't get the answer he wanted. You can go back and read this in your text. God basically told him, hey, listen, it's happened, and there's going to be a group of people called the Chaldeans. You might know them as the Babylonians. They had a champion of theirs called Nebuchadnezzar, who was their king. He said, this is what's going to happen, Habakkuk. This is what I need you to go out and tell the people. Yes, I see it happening, but there's an army coming, and this army is of godless people, and they're going to overtake you. And Habakkuk said, how can this happen, God? How can godless people come in and overtake godly people? I just can't see it. And when he gets to Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk had asked him and basically told him he couldn't understand why God could let godless country come in and defeat a nation that believed and worshiped. God's answer came to Habakkuk, and this is the core of the sermon today. I want you to see this, because there's a phrase that's in here, and it's in verse 4, but I want you to read verses 2 through 4 with me, if you would. This is Habakkuk chapter 2. God's answer. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will utterly come and it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Have you ever heard this phrase, the just shall live by faith? Now, it's interesting in verse 4, God used a few words to say a lot. I want you to understand this. When he answered, God's explanation to Habakkuk and to us is the core of the message that we need to hear today. These things are these people that are lifted up. When he says that in verse 4, he's speaking about those people who are proud. The people that believe in themselves. We have a lot of that today, don't we? When any man believes that he can say, listen, this is different than what God says, but now that it's a different kind of time period, this is what applies. When that person is saying, I know more than God, he's a lifted up person. He's a proud person, right? That's who he's speaking to. And he says, the lifted up is not upright in him. That means that lifted up person that thinks he is the one that says what's right and wrong. He is the one that's going to take care of himself. He is the one that's going to provide for himself. He's the one that's going to keep himself safe. He's the one that's in control. That person is not a righteous person in God's eyes. Why? Because they trust in themselves. And then he says, but the just shall live by faith. The just are those that are righteous in God's eyes. They trust in God's sovereign power. They believe in God's promises. The just shall live by faith. Now, faith seems to be this big religious word that we throw out. What did you talk about in church today? We talked about faith. Of course you talked about faith. You're in church, right? No. The just shall live by faith. Hold on a second. Not the just will have faith. The just will live by faith. The unjust, the unrighteous, the proud, the lifted up, they will live by their faith in themselves. They will believe in themselves for all these things. The just will live by faith. They will please God. Oh, how is this an answer? Because Habakkuk was getting ready to see that sometimes God puts you in a situation when you don't live by your faith. He puts you in a situation lovingly that makes you see that your plan was never going to work. Amen. That you can't provide for yourself. You can't take care of yourself. You can't have anything that God doesn't give you, and that the just will live by faith in knowing God is the one that provides. God is the one that's all wise. God is the one that gives you the protection. God is the one that gives you the promises. In God, you live by faith in Him, not yourself. Who does this apply to? Oh, me. I know it applies to me. I want you to notice that God didn't say just have faith. He said the just shall live by this faith. This means that it will require them to live by applying that faith on a daily basis. Trusting God on a daily basis. Obeying God on a daily basis. Faith. Well, we know what faith is. Faith is believing in something that we can't see, right? This morning, well, we came to church. Got our Bibles, done held them up. Came to church. I'm a Christian. Anything you say about God today, I believe in God, this and that. All right, what about Monday and Tuesday? It's easy. We're all in here together, right? What about Monday and Tuesday? What about Thursday? What about Wednesday evening when that call comes in or something doesn't happen? Are you living by that? Is it a daily faith? Are you applying that faith? Are you believing God? Are you believing? Do you begin to panic? Do you begin to fear? Because what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? How is this going to work out? The just shall live by faith. These bad circumstances that Habakkuk was seeing were going to prove to him and going to prove to the rest of the people that man, in our own pride, can't trust ourselves to do anything. I hear the phrase, I laugh sometimes because it's become a catchphrase for, we've taught everybody to be such positive thinkers. We're so worried about people's self-esteem that we tell every person, believe in yourself, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. Hey, I am an optimist. I will be the first to admit that to you. But if I have a message that I want to give everybody this many years down the road, it's that, hey, when you believe in yourself, you'll really disappoint yourself. Anybody else in here in that boat? Now, I believe that God can have things happen to me, but when I believe in myself, listen, I've disappointed myself a lot of times. Hey, which plan do you want to hear about that went wrong? Like, how many days can I keep lying to myself? Believe in yourself, Mike. Believe in yourself. Well, what's your track record? Right? Think about it. What's God's track record? So, yeah, I want that young person to believe in themselves, but I want them to believe in the actions that they do that are God-led. Those actions won't let them down. So I'm not trying to be a pessimist. I'm saying his message to them were, hey, it's going to get bad. But listen, in bad circumstances, in times when you don't understand how it's going to work out, in times of need, in times when it looks like everything is falling apart, then is when you have to live by faith. You can't see the end. You can't predict the end. You don't know how it's going to work out, but you will praise God because his hand will intervene and you will stand in amazement. That is when you praise God. When it's going well, anybody can live by faith, right? Oh, God's good, man. He's blessed me with this and he's blessed me with this. I'm living by faith. You are? It's just happening in front of you, man. You live by faith when you don't understand how it's going to work out. You live by faith when you're in the valley, when it's down and out, when this thing hasn't worked out, when you left the doctor and he told you this, or they came in and told you this was going on with your job and your mind starts going, or you wonder, what's going to happen here in my 401k? And I see this going and all of a sudden, how is it going to work out? Answer, please, Mike. You believe in yourself. Answer, Mike. You believe in yourself. Well, I don't really have an answer. Then who are you going to have to trust? Looks like you have to live your faith today. This message is a message that God has continually, consistently given us throughout his word, a message that says we are not supposed to just have faith in him. We are supposed to live by that faith. As Paul said, I live by that faith. We're supposed to live our faith, which means we're supposed to govern our lives according to our belief in him and his power. For me to say I have faith is one thing. For you to look at my life and say, well, he said he had faith, but for you to look at my life and say he governs his life by that faith, guess what? My children should know if I have faith by the way I govern my household. My coworkers should know I have faith by the way I govern my life. What does that mean? That I'm looking to God. If God says this is the way we do it, then we do it. My wife should know if I have faith by the way I'm governing my household, not that I have made a statement of faith. We're supposed to live by the rules of right and wrong that God's given. We're supposed to live by the faith in his sovereign power, not ours. We're supposed to live by faith in his wisdom, not ours. We're supposed to live by faith in his provision, not ours. We're supposed to live by faith in his promises, not ours. You see, his rules of right and wrong, that's what brings order to our whole civilization. That's what brings the blessings of God. When we live by faith in his sovereign power, well, let's get real. How powerful are you really? But we live as if we are. I don't have power to make my heart beat one more time. Even as a parent, you know, I realized I have so little power even to protect my children. So when I think about living in faith of God's power and His protection, I realized when my first child was able to drive and leave the driveway. Here I've had these babies, four of them, one on a pinky, one on a thumb, one on a pinky and one on a thumb. You're with daddy, nothing to be scared of. You're with daddy. Guess what? The reality is I can't protect them any further than I can see them. Can't. Powerless. My main goal should be to bring them to Jesus. Amen. So that they can have communication, they can talk with Him after they leave my driveway, right? Amen. What about faith in His wisdom? Boy, I see a lot of that today. We have become the enlightened society, haven't we? I listened to a lot of enlightened millennials this week. Sharing the vast wisdom that you gain by the age of 25 to 30. And I listen to a lot of baby boomers who feel like they need to be able to express that they're in the age of freedom and this is different than what God says. That's just the sign of man's wisdom being lifted up, pride in himself. This is what we say is right. No matter whether God says it, we're going to rewrite His word. We're going to say that if you love everybody, then you accept what God said is wrong. That's man and his wisdom, right? But we're supposed to live by faith in God's wisdom. We're supposed to live by faith in His provision. We're supposed to live by faith in His promises. Well, God's provision, it is God that gives us what we need. I have a wife that I promised when I married her. Listen, I'm going to provide for you. That was part of the deal. To honor and keep you. Not saying I'm going to keep you around. I'm going to keep you up. And as a man, there's something inside of me that says, hey, I want to provide for everybody. On my best day, it is not me that has ever provided for my family. It is God that has allowed me to provide on any given day. So I have to trust in His provision. Today we have this mindset that this is what we teach, that we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to be able to provide for ourselves and believe in ourselves. We're lifted up, we're proud, and this is what happens. And we get these ideas in our head and says, and we go on a tangent. Our mind begins to say, well, listen, if I go here and I get this job and this happens, then I'm going to be able to provide. But what happens when something happens? Like in Habakkuk's day, the bottom fell out, and you're like, okay, listen, I've lost my job. If I lost my job, I've lost my income. So I don't have my income, so how am I going to take care of my family? And we begin to worry, we begin to fear, and a panic comes over us, and all of a sudden, and we think, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Our wisdom runs out. At any given time, any scenario, your wisdom will run out. Amen. And God gave His wisdom through Jesus that said, hey, try this on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. What does that mean? That means God can figure your plan out if you live for Him. So, we're supposed to live without the fear of what's happening around us. We know that we're His if we've accepted the Lord as our Savior. If we've had that saving faith, we've accepted Him. We know we're His. So, how does He tell us to act? I like to use Romans 8 because I think it paints a pretty picture. Now, listen to verse 15. I'll just quote it to you. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." And boy, we fear, don't we? You say, I don't fear. So you don't worry, right? You're not anxious, right? You don't spend your time riding down the road and realize that you've tried to figure out this thing about work because this is the income and this needs to happen for you to make these bills. Or you don't worry when the doctor comes and tells you something because you have to go through. So if this doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply. But for the most people fear, right? He says, listen, when you accepted the salvation I offered you through Jesus Christ, you became my child. I'm your Father. That's why you say, our Father who art in heaven. I'm Father God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So when you get to a case, a circumstance, you're not to go to fear. You're supposed to go to the Father. And you're supposed to live by His wisdom, His provision, His protection, His promises. Now this is what's big. You see, you talk about a father-son relationship, okay? Well, I want you to see this, okay? I happen to be a father. And we'll say father-child. I've got three boys, a girl. And I've tried to provide for them. And I want them to know that I provide for them. And it happens at an age where you start doing this and you figure, well, this is what it's all about, and my kids know I'll provide for them, right? But I thought before, if it happens this way, and it happened before, to where that child came and asked me, hey, what are we gonna eat this evening? Any child ever ask you, where are you gonna go to eat? Yeah. But does your child ever come to you and ask you if you're gonna eat? You see, I've made sure day after day after day there was food on the table. God gave me the ability to go out and work. I put food on the table. It's my responsibility. Made sure they had a house to sleep in. They didn't sleep out in the rain. Made sure there was some heat on in there. If not, get a caresson, get a blanket, right? Made sure that all those things were taken care of. What if my child came to me day after day and said, Dad, I know dinner was good last night and lunch was great and breakfast was great, but are we going to eat today? Are we going to eat? Of course, son, we're going to eat today. Have I not always fed you? Yes. Okay, well, thanks. I just wanted to make sure we're going to eat. After he eats the next meal, it's like, man, it was good, but listen, are we going to have a next meal? Are we going to have a next meal? What do you think? Well, they're just insecure. If that child does that day after day, after day after day, and they keep coming and say, we're going to be able to sleep in the house tonight. We're going to be able to sleep here. You say, they're insecure. No, here's what it is. They don't have faith in me as a father. They don't believe in me as a father. Here I've shown them day after day after day after day, and still they come to me and say, hey, is it going to work out? Are you going to take care of us? They don't know that I love them enough, and I've shown it and I've shown it, so they don't believe in me. And then I look at my relationship with Father God. How many times has He looked at me and said, have I not taken care of you? Have I not provided for you? You see, that's having faith, but that's not living the faith. And as a child, sometimes a child of God, we don't live our faith. We say it. It's easy to say, I've got faith. I believe in Him. But are you living it? There's a difference. You see, I think God's message is not just for us to have a belief in Him. It's for us to live according to that belief. It's when He considers us righteous or just. That's why He says the just shall live by faith. If I go back and I talk about the time that I made my salvation profession, and I talk about, hey, listen, 12 years old, I remember. I was under conviction. I heard the word of God, and I realized I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I understood that Jesus died for me, and I couldn't wait for that preacher to give that invitation so that I could go down and I could accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that day, I got saved. Amen? Okay, that was my initial act of faith. Do you realize that if my act of faith stays at that, then I do not please God? If you have to go back and say, listen, you look back, you ask somebody, I got saved right down there. Something's wrong, because living your faith means they can look at your yesterday and say, I know he got saved because this is what he's doing. I know he got saved because he's living by this. I know he got saved because he's not fearing this, because he walks with God. That's the evidence of my salvation. Not that I said I have faith, but I'm living my faith. There's a difference, isn't there? I think this is the message for us today that makes us ask the question, do we have faith or are we living by faith? If we're living by faith, then we're living according to what God said is right and wrong. If we're living by faith, then we're living trusting in His power, not our own. If we're living by faith, then we're living trusting that God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom. What do you mean? There's things in my life I just cannot figure out why God let them happen, but I have to know that God had more wisdom than I did and still does. And I trust His wisdom. If I'm living by faith, then I have to live trusting in God's provision, not my own plan. If I'm living by faith, I have to live with hope in God's promises, not what we hope may happen. And if I'm living by faith, then I'm living with the confidence of God's protection instead of living in fear. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, I'm with you. David got it. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. Right? He got it. He lived his faith. See, God was testing Habakkuk's faith. But he was telling Habakkuk the same thing that he's telling us. No matter what is going on around us, no matter what happens in your fleshly, physical life that makes you want to doubt, makes you want to fear, or makes you want to worry, or makes you want to complain. He's telling you, live by faith. To live by faith means that you need to have a continual faith, not just that initial faith, but continual faith. My salvation experience gets me to God, but it doesn't take me any further. It's putting that money in my pocket, but it's not spending it. God tells us in the book of Hebrews, I think this is pretty awesome. Scott even spoke to it this morning in Hebrews 11. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. But there's two conditions. You must believe that He is, listen, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if you're living your faith, you're diligently seeking Him. I left the doctor's office and I just don't get what's going on. And now this could happen and that could happen. Well, what do I need to do? Diligently seek God, because my faith tells me that God made me. He gave me an appointed time to be born, appointed time to die. He hasn't forgotten me, so He's in control. Do I need to worry? No. Do I need to fear? No. Why? Because I'm living my faith. I believe God's in control. Not me, not the disease, not the doctor. And God's got a plan better than mine. I just got a call from work and they said that my job is gone and I'm not going to be able to have a job. And so what about my bills and all that go with this job? Well, listen, I had faith when everything was going good and I believed in that God. Is that God going to leave me here? Has He forgotten me? What about me? Did He leave me by the side? No. If I live by faith, then I'm not falling apart. I'm not panicking. I'm not saying, okay, listen, you say it's normal, it's natural. It's natural in the natural man. That's why He says, don't live by your mind, live by your faith. If you believe in God and you believe in who He is and what He can do, then yes, you can live by that. You can apply it. It is not something that we pick up and put down like a toboggan when it gets cold. It's not something we turn on and turn off when we walk in here on Sundays. It happens on Tuesday and Thursday where you have to apply that faith. You have to live by it. It's easy to live by faith when everything's going great, isn't it? But you have to live by faith when it's not going great. Hebrews 10, if you read verse 38 and 39, you would see this phrase again, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you read Romans 1, 16 and 17, you'll read, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3, 6 through 11, at the end you'll see, the just shall live by faith. What does he mean? In Hebrews 10, he says, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Well, God told us in Hebrews it's impossible to please him without that faith. Not that initial faith, but that everyday continual faith. Let's go back to the father-child thing, okay? When my child continually doubts me, after I've shown and poured my love, I'm not pleased with that child. And as far as relating that to me and Father God, there's been a lot of times that Father God has not been pleased with this child because I've doubted him in fear and worry. I've not shown him that I trust in his provision, his protection, his wisdom. I've had a better plan in my wisdom. I've thought that I could protect better. I thought that I could provide better. All those things, listen, all those things were just examples that I could prove to him, I don't trust you. I wasn't living my faith. Hebrews 10 says God has no pleasure in that. Hebrews 11 said it's impossible to please him. Romans 1, Paul declared, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith." That's a hard question to answer. Do I live my faith? It's a lot harder than do I have faith, right? This is a message that God wants us to get, yet it seems that a lot of people are not getting this message. God does not want us just to believe in him and accept his gift of salvation so that we can receive our immediate blessing of eternal life with him. He wants us to believe in him and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior so that we can have daily fellowship with him. Do you know that God wants daily fellowship with you? We happen to be able to eke out a Sunday or two a month that we make and get our schedules to where we can get in church because we are so busy? Are we that person that happens to come to church and we turn it on and turn it off when we come in here? Understand, the expression of your faith is not in your proclamation. The expression of your faith is in your daily life. Amen. Living your faith. A faith that lets us live every day trusting in his power, his wisdom, his provision, his promises, and his protection. If we live, and I mean actually live, this means apply to our daily lives. If we live by this faith, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what circumstance happens, no matter what's going on in the world around us, then we will have a peace that everyone around us can see that will either bring them toward us or turn them away. You see, that peace is our light. When God tells you to go out and be the light of the world, what is a light? A light is something that shines in darkness, right? So what kind of light does it look like you are as a Christian when someone sees that you're going through something and they see you begin to complain and panic and what are we going to do and this and that? Well, you know what they're seeing? They're seeing that you say that you have faith, but you're not living by that faith. They see that you're saying, I have faith in God, but God can't handle this. So what kind of light is that? You say, is that a big deal? Yes, that's what attracts other people to God so they can have faith. And God doesn't tell you just, hey, leave this place, go to the first person you see and say, hey, listen, man. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. You need to accept him or you're going to die and go to hell and you want to go to heaven and God loved you and so you're going to accept the Lord? You know how somebody's going to come to God? They're going to come to God by seeing a light that shines in you that is so peaceful in the time of whatever you're going through that it says, God's got it. He's going to take care of it. You say, they're going to think I'm naive. They might even say you're naive, but guess what? When they get by themselves, they're going to know that you have something that they don't. It's a peace that passes their understanding. And when they see that you've trusted in God and you're living your faith, you're not just saying I have faith, you say, well, how do people know me? Listen, your family knows you. Hey, moms and dads, Your children know if you're living by faith. We were tobacco farmers. It supplemented our income. My dad worked at a furniture factory and farmed tobacco. Listen, when the tobacco didn't do good and short time at the furniture, I didn't walk in and see my dad just saying, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. Listen, I'm upset. How's this going to work out? This and that. Guess why? Because I was grounded in the fact that he was confident. I was grounded in the fact that he had everything under control. He helped me not panic. I think about this because in the book of Colossians, the Bible tells us in chapter 1, continue in faith. Verse 23 says, continue in faith. Well, it goes on to say that you can be rooted in or settled and grounded in him. I think as my child, I would never want my child to panic thinking, okay, this is going right, this is going wrong, right? But if they hear me complaining, if they always see me frustrated, if they continually see me to where, oh, this has happened, what are we going to do, this and that, then there's no rooted and grounded, no settled and grounded. And God is saying, listen, you're living by faith. Your faith in God's power, his provision, his protection, his promises, that's a settling, a grounding that you need to have. Your neighbor at work is going to see that. Your family member is going to see that. You're not trying to show them that you're any better than they are, because you're not. You're just trying to show them that you're living your faith. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you've admitted you're imperfect. But the fear that comes out of this life, it's a fear that comes to those who selfishly think they are the ones that are in control. They are the ones that have the answer. They are the ones that will provide. They are the ones that will protect. And the truth of the matter is, we're not. Living your faith is what brings you the peace that God wants you to have. Living your faith is what attracts others to that peace. I hope you keep that vision in your mind of that child that stands in front of their father and or stands in front of their mother and asks them, you know, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? Because I've been that child, and I bet you've been that child. Do you want to please God this morning? Well, no matter what you've done in the past, you can stop it right here from today. You can stop it. If you haven't trusted him, you come to him and you ask him to forgive you for not trusting him. You tell him that you believe in his power over yours. You tell him that you want to live your faith. But then you have to do something past today. It's not just making this declaration that today I want to change things. Do you realize that you live your faith by having that communion, that fellowship with God? What do you mean? Do you realize that you can't really live your faith if you're not communicating with God? You say, well, how does God speak to you? I'll guarantee you, I don't hear a voice that comes out of my roof. God speaks to us through the same way that you would speak to me. If you were to speak to me, you would use words, right? God uses his word. If you're not reading his word, there is no way that you're going to be living your faith. Because you want to hear what he has to say. He wants to speak to you. So he tells you to read his word, learn what he has to say to you. That's why they began to read that word in the Old Testament. That's why I want to be specific in telling you that. That's when they had great revival in their households and in their country, because they read God's word. If you're not praying, if you're not talking to God, how in the world can you have a relationship with anybody that you don't talk to? You have to go back to say, hey, well, I met them back then. They were awesome. If I were to use me and Angie's relationship and say, hey, I really love my wife. I met her all these years ago, and we had a great meeting, a great engagement, and a great honeymoon. Haven't spent much time with her since. Every week or so, I acknowledge it. But I don't really tell her every day. I don't talk to her every day. my relationship with God isn't any different. If I'm not coming together with you and worshiping and fellowshipping, then it's hard for me to live my faith. What do you mean? Well, I've talked about prayer, I've talked about Bible reading, and I'll talk about fellowship. You know that God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together to worship. Near the Old Testament, they gathered them together to read the Word of God. Why is that? Do you know that you think, well, why do we need to come together? Do you realize, I know you might think, hey, I've done my duty in life as a Christian. Do you realize that God still has a plan for you? He needs you to influence somebody. There are people that are around you that you need to influence that you can do better than I can do. And that everybody's not going to have their strongest day every day. When somebody else is not having their strongest day, use your strongest day. When you're having your weakest day, you count on somebody else's strongest day. That's why he says, come together. And he says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So if you think about Bible reading, if you think about prayer, if you think about fellowship, you could go back to the early church in Acts chapter 2 and you could say, hey, listen, Habakkuk, they went into captivity and all these things happened, and then the New Testament happened. Jesus came. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. Peter preached the message, and guess what happened? The church began. Guess what they started doing in the church? It says they continued. Acts chapter 2, they continued. Say that word with me. That means day after day after day. To continue means a perpetual thing. They didn't just say, hey, great message, Peter, 3,000 people got saved. They continued daily in the apostles' doctrine. What did they do? They learned the Word of God. They read it out loud. They taught it in their church. They taught it in their homes. They continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Daily, daily, daily. Now get this. And God added to them daily such as should be saved. Why? Because these people in Jerusalem looked and they said, what is going on with that group of nuts down there? What's going on? Why aren't they panicking? Why aren't they fearing? Why aren't they living in this? What is wrong? Are they in some bubble? Are they naive? No, listen. They got around them and they were able to see. They were living their faith. If we go out of here and live our faith, listen, not only will our families change, our marriages will change, our community will change, our nation will change. Don't put it on somebody else. If people start living their faith, it is attractive to anyone who is desperately searching for peace and who are out of answers. Who does that include? Everybody. There's nobody in the world that can answer their own questions. They'll get to a point to where God will not allow them to have the answer. Because God will give every man a chance to cry out to him and say, God, I don't know what to do. That's why he says he appeals to the brokenhearted. So question for you, do you have faith? I asked you that, it was easy. So let me ask you the next one. Are you living your faith? The first thing that God wants you to do, any individual, Jesus died for you, so he wants you to accept Jesus as your Savior, knowing that you can't get to God without him. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. So what does he tell us we have to do? We have to confess our sins to him. I don't remember them all. You don't have to confess them all. You have to confess that you're a sinner. You have to realize, God, I can't get to you. My sin keeps me from you, but I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe he was buried. He rose again. I accept his death, his burial, his resurrection to cover my sins. I accept that he died for me, and I believe in you. I believe in him, his power to get me to you. Please save me. Forgive me what I've done. Please save me. Give me that salvation. That's a profession of faith. That is when you get faith in God, when you ask him to come into your heart and be your Lord. But being your Lord, if you understand the word Lord, it means I serve the Lord. That means I look to him for my provision, my protection, my wisdom. You see, after you profess your faith, then you have to live your faith. And I think so many of us as Christians, we keep counting on our profession of faith. We don't want to look at ourselves and say, are we truly living our faith? If you're finding yourself in that position today, then you've joined a large group. Don't feel bad. The devil right now would be able to tell you, well, don't let anybody else know. Listen, everybody else already knows. They've been watching you whether you've lived your faith or not. Nobody's just saying anything about it because most of the people that would say something about it aren't living their faith either. Nobody wants to bring it up. Hey, I brought it up today. I brought it up because we're going to have communion today. we're going to be able to observe the picture that says, I took Christ into me, his blood and his flesh. I believed and I took it into me. Well, are we living it or did we just take it in? Today, we'll have a time of invitation. And if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't want you to leave here today unsure. I want to pray with you. I'll be down here today. I'd love to pray with you so that you can leave here knowing that you've accepted, you've believed him by faith. You've confessed your sins to him and asked him to be your Lord and Savior. And if you've done that, but you're like most of the people, you realize that life's got busy and I've depended on my own self, then yes, you fall into that category of being that one in the back that says is lifted up. I want to be the one that he calls just, don't you? The just shall live by faith. Are you living your faith? If there's an area you can improve on, don't be ashamed. Bow before God this morning. Cry out to him and tell him to give you the strength. Tell him that you do trust him. Acknowledge that. And go out this day and begin to do the things that will grow your faith and strength. Trust in him. Really, he is your Father God if you're saved. Are you pleasing him? Is he looking at you as a child and saying, oh my, he really doesn't trust me? If so, he wouldn't keep having his mind full of these things that I told him I was going to do. Where are you at today? Use this invitation time to talk to him. Would you please stand? Father God, I love you. I praise you and I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you give us an opportunity to hear your word. I thank you, Lord, for making it specifically for us today. And Lord, your children fill this room, and there may be some here that have never accepted Jesus as their Savior. I pray, God, that today is the day of salvation for those that have never accepted you, that you would give them a boldness, Lord, to answer that voice that you're speaking to them with in their heart and mind. And Lord, for Christians all over this room today, Lord, we probably haven't been the children we need to be to you, but we realize it, Lord. Let us live our faith. We know that you've always provided for us. You've always protected us. We thank you for that. God, show us ourselves today. As we have this communion with you, Lord, I pray, God, that you would reunite yourself with all those that cry out to you at this time. Cry out for your strength, your provision, your protection, Lord. Give them that confidence that they need to have as a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.